Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Just tuned in to the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show with Rashida DeJesus and Robert Deal. We're coming at you live from Seattle, Washington. And to get the show rolling, let me bring on my co-host and brother in martial arts, Sifu Robert Deal. Sifu Bob, how you doing today? I guess it would help if I bring on your mic. There we go.
Yes. She had me muted for a reason, I am afraid. It is a great week. I got excited briefly until I found out it was a mistake today. Somebody texted me and said, congratulations, and I said, for what? She said, you were nominated for the Texas Hall of Fame. I said, not to the best of my knowledge.
Huh.
And she's like, oh, my mistake.
Oh, gee. How do you get on the list for the Texas Martial Arts Hall of Fame when... You know what I mean? It's like, how do you get on the list, and how is that a mistake? I mean, they have to look you up and
well,
and
because
stuff
it's,
like that.
It's the Karate Hall of Fame, you know, the Sports Karate Hall of Fame, and she got or Sports Karate Museum Hall of Fame, and she got it confused with the Martial Arts History Museum Hall of Honor.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense then.
So
awesome.
My daughter gets her brackets on for braces. I feel so sorry for her. She hasn't been able to eat much more than mashed potatoes all week.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it has been quiet around here, though, which I appreciate.
Oh, gosh.
Now, this is for the guys. This is for the guys out there.
Okay, all right.
You don't know my work history, but I was a locksmith since I was 14, and now I'm 49, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my car key's starting to bend. That means my son or I, or maybe one time, started to turn the car on before the key was all the way in the ignition.
Uh-huh.
Well, I told my wife this the other night. I said, you know, my key's starting to bend. I got to get a new one. She says, no, it's not. It's not that. The key's a thick key. That's this. She's trying to explain to somebody with 40 years of experience, right? That's like me telling you how Tai Chi really is, right?
Right.
Guys,
do not
do that. Do not argue with them. Just let them rant and leave it alone. Trust me.
Yeah.
When I looked at her and the daggers I got when I said, what experience are you basing your knowledge on? Guys, don't do that.
I was going to say, guys, don't question a lady's intelligence because, wow, talk about doghouse.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be digging my way out for a long time.
People can say, wow, this casserole sucks, Rusty. I'm fine with that. Just don't go to intelligence or tell me how any style that I've practiced is. It's like... That's where my patient ends. Boom. That's it. No patience there. All right. Well, we've got a great show ahead of us today. For our listeners out there, our number here is 347-677-0699. We have Elaine Yamano that's going to be joining us in about half an hour that will be sharing some tips about organizing a tournament. And we also have another special guest who is going to be acting as a guest co-host with us today. So from Seattle, Washington, I'd like to bring on Tracy Klassen Spencer, a Taekwondo practitioner from here in Seattle, Washington, and happens to be one of my Tai Chi students. Welcome, Tracy. Welcome to Dynamic Dojo.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's going to be fun.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And Tracy is going to be sharing a little bit of tips on how to prepare oneself for competition, be it forms competition or kumite sparring competition. And definitely we want to get that information before you have to leave at 7. Okay, Tracy, so
good.
That'll be cool. So why don't we go ahead and get the show rolling? Let's go ahead and start with our shout-outs and news. What do you think, Bob?
I think you're on to something.
All right. So let's go ahead and start with birthdays for this week. I'd like to start off with announcing a very important person's birthday. The current Supreme Grandmaster of Kakoi Dose Pares, Grandmaster Kakoi Kenyette, will be celebrating his 94th birthday on August 8th. And I tell you what, he is still swinging that stick like nobody's business, and we wish him a very happy birthday. We're also going to be holding a special fundraising workshop here at my studio on either August 17th or August 31st. Guru Cheryl Johnson and I will be teaching a fundraising workshop to raise proceeds for Grandmaster Kenyette's medical expenses, because right now, as we speak, he's undergoing medical treatments. I'm not quite sure what the condition is, but he's in a hospital right now, so we're going to be sending over all that money to help with the funding of his medical treatments. And then on August 12th, a mutual friend of yours and mine, Sifu Bob, William Christopher Ford, will have his birthday on August 12th. And I had a bunch of other birthdays on here, but that goes into the next 2 weeks, so I only want to kind of do it week by week. But for anybody out there that is having a birthday this month, I've got a special song for you, and here we go. Always gets me moving. Yay, Stevie Wonder.
Oh, that almost makes me feel like I want to be another year older.
I know.
Almost.
I want to celebrate my birthday again, too. All right. So happy birthday, everyone, especially to Supreme Grandmaster Kakoi Kenyette on August 8th. All right. Let's go to our shout-outs. Let's go to the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. So the first announcement I'd like to make is a seminar that I was actually invited to by Datu Tim Hartman. This is the FMA Legacy and WMAA Training Camp in Buffalo, New York. And this particular training camp is going on from August 9th through 11th. That's Friday through Sunday, 9th through 11th. And this particular seminar is going to feature instructors from Balintawak Eskrima, and they're going to be celebrating more than 60 years of Balintawak. And a lot of Balintawak Eskrima luminaries from all over the world will be meeting in Buffalo, New York, to celebrate this milestone. And some of the instructors that have committed to instructing at this event include Grandmaster Bobby Tabawada, Grandmaster Tim Hartman, Grandmaster Rick Mangbinog, Grandmaster Michael Hiron, Grandmaster Max Palin, and Master Rich Parsons. And other instructors are going to be added on as the list gets confirmed, but I think those are the ones that have been confirmed so far. And the seminar is going to be held at Horizon Martial Arts West in Seneca, New York, and that's located at 280 Center Road, West Seneca, New York, zip code 14224. Now, if you want any information on how to register for the seminar, if you're in the New York area, go ahead and call 716-771-1291, or you can email admin@wmarnice.com. That's admin at WM, as in Mark, ARNIS.com. So there's that. And let's see, a couple more event announcements. In Seattle, on August 18th, the first CMAC, the Seattle International Martial Arts Championships, is going to be having the first locally organized Wushu Tai Chi Kung Fu tournament in a long time. Oh my goodness, I think the last time we had a locally organized Wushu Tai Chi Kung Fu tournament was back in the late 1990s. I think that was the last one that I competed in Seattle. And since then, all the other Wushu and Tai Chi tournaments that anyone from here had to compete at, we had to travel down to California or across the country to Baltimore or up into Canada. So this particular tournament is being organized by Sifu Tianyuan Li, who happens to teach at Northwest Wushu, which is our sister school. And I'm going to be helping out with that. I'm going to deliver the carpets, the Wushu carpets, the night before, judging in Tai Chi. It's really going to be fun. But all levels of divisions are going to be applicable to this tournament. So anyone can register. If you have at least one basic form, you can register and compete. So you just have to go to http://cimac.northwestwushu. That's NORTHWEST. You got to spell out Wushu. Northwestwushu.com and look for the CMAC announcement. So that's it for the events. So Tracy, do you have any events off the top of your head at all, or?
Not off the top of my head, although we're coming up into fall, which is one of the prime seasons for Taekwondo tournaments. In Taekwondo, the tournaments tend to be held in either spring or fall. Mm-hmm. My school, Lee's Martial Arts, has a tournament every March in the Seattle area, which draws as many as 1,200 competitors in some
Whoa.
Years. Yeah, it is a seriously large event.
Where is that held in recent years?
Where is that held
with that many competitors?
Yeah, in the years when there were that many competitors, one year it was down at the Tacoma Convention Center, and it was at the Tacoma Dome Exhibition Hall when we had those years where we had the most competitors. Since then, our school has scaled it back a little bit just because, boy, that's an awful big event to try and put on.
Yeah.
So we scaled it back to more to in the hundreds of competitors and hold it at Renton High School.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, awesome. So that's every year in March, the LMA Open, sponsored by Lee's Martial Arts here in the Seattle
area. Oh, you know, I think I went to one of them that was in Tacoma some years back. I think because it's an open, right? There was like some kung fu division or something like that.
There was a few years ago. It was open to karate practitioners as well as taekwondo.
Oh, okay.
I think that was in 2007. That was
it
was at its biggest at 1,200 competitors.
Yeah, I remember that because I was invited to judge. That was pretty cool. Awesome.
That was a big one.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Bob? Do you have any events or announcements off the top of your head?
Not this week, I don't.
All right. Let's move away from the events and kind of scroll down the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page and see what we got. Let's see. Events. Any more events? We've got Jasmine Stones had placed a link to her new page called True Martial Arts. And if you want to like it, just find the link on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page and look for Jasmine Stones. It's called True Martial Arts. And so far, 8,201 people already liked the page. Holy moly. Wow. That's interesting. All right. And Master Eric Smith had placed a announcement on our page for Screaming Eagles Martial Arts, located at 645 Ooh. Wallingford Drive. I know, Screaming Eagles!
Wow!
located at 645 Wallenberg Drive, Suite A11 in El Paso, 79912. He wanted to announce that they're having free trials No contracts, no hidden fees, military discounts, and multiple student enrollment discounts. And they specialize in Taekwondo and Hapkido for ages 3 and above. So if you're in the El Paso, Texas area and want to get into Taekwondo and Hapkido, check out Screaming Eagles Martial Arts. Look for Master Eric Smith's link on Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. All right. And, you know, Soke Daryl Smith posted an interesting video on our page. Did you see that, Bob?
Yeah, I saw one. I'm trying to think which one it was.
He was performing Poison Palm.
Oh, no, I didn't see that one. I saw the link, though.
Yeah, so Soke Daryl Smith performed Poison Palm, and what he did is he pretty much slapped through more than a foot of cinder blocks to break the bottom block. So that was pretty cool. But, you know, when I saw the video, I'm like, that looks more than 12 inches. Because I think, you know, a standard cinder block is, I know it's like a little bit less than 12 inches, but he had like 3 of them.
Right.
And, you know,
I have seen that one before because he posted it a couple weeks ago as well. Isn't he between two cars?
Yeah, he's between two cars.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did see it. Cinder blocks can be anywhere 8, 6, 8, up to 12.
Yeah, and I thought it was a great performance. Of course, you know, there were people on YouTube that were saying, "Oh, that shit's fake." Blah blah. There we go swearing again. But
I know. See, Tracy, see what happens?
Yeah.
It's all her.
But that's exactly what they said. You know, they say, oh, this shit's fake and stuff like that. And granted, yes, you know, there are scientific explanations for it, folks. But you just, you know, it's hard to do it. You know, I mean, anyone that is a science proponent and wants to stack up 3 or 4 cinder blocks and, you know, and send enough energy through the blocks to be able to break the bottom one, give it a shot the first try. I almost guarantee you're not going to be able to do it. So, you know, I'm telling these people to shut up.
What it comes down to is if you can't do it, you will criticize it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I don't see it so much as that they were that they were just saying, oh, it's bullshit. But I think it was because, you know, people were saying that there is a scientific explanation for it. And you know, and it's true. But, you know, trying to do it that way through cinder blocks, it's hard. But he posted another one too about doing another one through 5 cinder blocks. So I think I read that right. So there's 2 videos. So if you guys are interested in looking at it, go to Dynamic Dojo and look up Daryl Smith. Gerald Rivera has a request for assistance. On September 2nd, his school, the Mushindo Samurai Academy, will be opening. However, the investor that was supposed to help him out had pulled out because of a family emergency. He was supposed to invest $5,000 for equipment, and he's looking for alternative funding. So he went to a site called GoFunding.com. And what that is it's a site where you can set up your own private webpage, so to speak, and garner donations. And so he's asking for any bit of help to make his September 2nd opening date happen. I went ahead and I donated $1 because that's all I had in my bank account at the time. PayPal, sorry. So I was like, oh, man, that's awful when I can only donate $1. But, you know, if enough people donate $1, you know, he'll get closer. So go on the link on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. Scroll down a little bit until you see Gerald Rivera. And his link is titled New Martial Arts Dojo for Inner Divinity. And just click on that, and it'll take you to a page on GoGetFunding.com. GoGetFunding.com. So, and I looked at the page, and I thought about it. For getting ourselves equipment too, and it's a great page. Your page is you can customize your page any way you want. So if you guys need a use for GoGetFunding.com, go check out the page. All right, and I think that's it for my particular announcements. And you got anything else there, Bob?
No, that's it.
Nope. All right. Well, let's move on into our health news. All right. So how many of you out there in listener land, and just show of hands, please, have ever woken up in the middle of the night with one of those nasty nighttime leg cramps? I'm raising my hand. What about you two? No, you guys have been lucky?
My wife used to wake up with horrible Charlie, wake me up and scared the hell out of me. She'd wake me up screaming at these horrible leg cramps in her thighs.
Yeah, and I luckily I've never had them in my thighs. My mom has. She's had them in her thighs to where they'd get rock hard, and she would just be crying. And, you know, massaging would be the only way to alleviate it, but then it hurts when you do it, right? I get them through my calves and through the arches of my feet. And it'll wake me up from a dead sleep, and I will do everything not to scream. But I found out that as many as 6 in 10 adults report experiencing nighttime leg cramps at one time or another. Now, researchers are not sure what causes them. These researchers say that sometimes it can be a sign of some underlying medical problem, for example, like liver disease, arthritis, or peripheral vascular disease. And this particular statement was made by Dr. Richard E. Allen, who actually published a report on the phenomenon in the journal American Family Physician last year. Nocturnal leg cramps can also be confused with restless leg syndrome, or in rare cases, a side effect of drugs like estrogen or naproxen. For that reason, when the problem is persistent, he recommends seeing a doctor to help make a diagnosis. Dr. Allen says leg cramps are a kind of a diagnosis of exclusion, and we really should rule out these other more dangerous things before we can call it benign leg cramps. Now, one remedy that has been shown to work is the anti-malarial drug quinine, but it has such severe side effects that the Food and Drug Administration warns against using it for leg cramps. Here in the United States, tonic water historically contained large amounts of quinine, but now typically contains very little. Now, my mom used to take quinine, and her doctors pulled her off it as well. Now, another remedy would be magnesium supplements. I had no idea. Did you guys? Magnesium, I had no idea.
Not good.
But apparently a 2012 study in the Cochrane Database of Systematic Reviews found that they were unlikely to be much of a help. So it's a popular remedy that people are doing, but some of these studies are saying that it's not much of a help, so go figure. But Dr. Allen says that taking a little acetaminophen before bed can actually help reduce pain associated with the cramps. A small dose of muscle relaxant or vitamin B12 might also be helpful. But the best dose of prevention, he says, might be regular aerobic activity, especially a few minutes of exercise before bed, like maybe 5 minutes on a stationary cycle just before you go to bed. You don't want to do too much because that'll actually amp you up, and that will prevent you from readily going to sleep. The two things that seem to be most closely connected to leg cramps are the nerves firing when they're not supposed to and poor circulation. Exercise improves circulation, and it seems to settle down the nerves. So just a little food for thought there for those of you that are suffering from nighttime leg cramps. Do a little bit of exercise, and I guess you can try magnesium, but as that Cochrane Database of Systematic Review study pointed out, it might not even help at all. And if you're going to take quinine, be careful with it. I don't remember what the side effects are, but I guess they are bad enough to where you shouldn't take it. All right. Well, that's it for my health news. I think it's time for
Weird News.
All right. What do we got for weird news there, Bob?
Well, Corpus Christi, Texas, there were two women who finally met face-to-face after being pen pals for years. There was Audrey Sims living in Australia and Norma, which was living in Corpus Christi. The pair started writing as a school project you remember those old school projects where you'll become a pen pal with somebody for a brief period of time.
Right, right.
Well,
I remember those.
These women became pen pals for 74 years.
Whoa.
After all the letters, Sims came to Texas on Tuesday for their very first visit. I think
Aww.
We've got parallel families. We're both married and divorced and married again, and it's sort of almost the same, Sims said. The women estimated that they've written about 3,000 letters back and forth.
Holy moly.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
3,000? You said 3,000, right?
When's the last time that you got a letter? You actually got a
letter
written
by somebody. It
doesn't
happen anymore.
When was the last time you mailed a letter?
This morning.
I don't remember mailing a bill. I don't remember mailing a letter the last time. Everything's done by computer now.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. That had to have been just the most wonderful meeting ever.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That's
awesome.
Very cool. So now we're going to move on to Weird Laws, which this week we're going to Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Cap guns. Now, I can see this because I've seen L.A., you know, I live in L.A., so if you pull out a cap gun, fake gun on a police officer, you're bound to get shot.
Right.
So I can understand this. Cap guns are absolutely illegal in the state of Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
It is considered an offense to throw pickle juice on a trolley.
What? Wait, what? Say that again?
It is illegal to throw pickle juice on a trolley. So if you're riding a trolley, you cannot throw pickle juice.
Unfair.
Cancel my trip to Rhode Island.
I know, right?
Well, in Newport, Rhode Island, it is illegal to smoke a pipe after sunset.
Oh.
Well, that sucks.
That does it for me. Remind me not to go to Rhode Island and try to pull out one of my seven alleys after sunset. Oh, man.
I know. and professional sports, except for ice polo. Now, I've never heard of ice polo. I'm sorry. Water polo, you know, polo on horses, absolutely. But ice polo, professional sports, except for ice polo and hockey must obtain a license to play games on Sundays.
What the hell?
What?
must be hard to find the ice skates for the horses.
Wow.
Don't you think that with the little hook shapes and it's gotta be tough. You don't find that at Sports Authority.
Wait a minute. I think I choked.
Wow, I thought I was going to be the only one supposed to get rim shots.
Oh gosh.
I know, it's like water polo. Wouldn't the horses drown?
Yeah, right. And you need to get a permit on Sundays. That's awesome.
On Sundays. And that is the end of my weird laws for the week.
Awesome. That was it for
Weird News.
All right. All right. Before we go into a short break, I want to do some trivia of the week. Now, normally we have the trivia contest where you have to be the first caller to win a chance to be a guest co-host or a chance to be a guest on our show. But this week I just want to throw some trivia snippets out there. So, did you know that the kiwi has twice as much vitamin C as oranges and just as much potassium as bananas? I had no idea. Had no idea. And how about this one? Did you know that potatoes were once banned in Burgundy, France in 1910 because it was believed that frequent use of them caused leprosy?
Use of potatoes.
For what? Uh-huh. I guess if you eat them or rub them on your skin, I don't know.
I was thinking something other than French fries, but I don't know. Weird.
I don't know. Weird. And check this out. There are over 2,500 varieties of mangoes.
No, they're
yeah.
not.
2,500 varieties. Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
Who knew? And a single bite of cheese can contain up to 1 trillion bacteria. That just made me kind of like puke in my mouth a little there.
I can see that, though. Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, like blue cheese and stuff like that. And, what's that?
Limburger, the stinky cheese.
The stinky cheese. And there's also that one cheese. I forgot what country it comes from. I don't remember it was France or Sweden or whatever. But there's this cheese that actually is made to taste better when maggots get to it. And there's actually maggots in the cheese. And it supposedly makes the cheese taste absolutely delicious. Must be some enzyme they excrete or something. I don't know. But that just kind of made me puke a little too. So,
anything is better with
Tracy.
Yeah.
Tracy, how's dinner sounding right about now?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I just cut cheese out of the menu.
I know, right? I don't know.
Oh, I could have gone other places with that. You know, not that many people admit on the show when they cut the cheese.
That one needs a rim shot. Hold on, I got to find it. Where's my rim shot? There it is.
I'll have my maggots plain, thank you.
Yes. I'll just cook mine. Yes. And the last one, Domino's Pizza International reports that their top pie topping requests in other countries include eggs in Australia, tuna and corn in Australia, tuna and corn in England, and squid in Japan, and pickled ginger in India. And
so they don't really understand the concept of pizza then.
Well, you know, I think the only thing that they understand is that you put stuff on top of something that looks like a crust. Now, when I went to Japan, we went to a Shakey's Pizza because I used to work as a store manager and a field manager for Shakey's Pizza when they were here in the Puget Sound. And so we went to a Shakey's. And, we went in there, and it smelled exactly like Shakey's, as it did over here. But I looked at the menu, and they had a potato and mayonnaise pizza. And they had a takoyaki pizza, which is pretty much like it's a prepared and broiled octopus. And
I can go for that.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. We actually got the takoyaki. But they really don't put the red sauce on there unless you ask for it. I didn't feel like trying the potato and mayonnaise. I mean, hot mayonnaise. I don't know about that. That just But it was pretty good. So,
they call it the salmonella
like
special, right?
Yeah, exactly. Warm mayonnaise. So, it looked exactly like a pizza when they put it down, but the red sauce was not the typical tomato sauce. It was, I don't know what it was made out of, but it was good. It tasted like takoyaki, so pretty neat. All right, that's it for the trivia of the week. It's a little bit after 6:30. In fact, it's 6:33 p.m., and I'd like to go ahead and take a short commercial break, and during that time, we're going to see about getting our guest Elaine Yamano on the line, and we're going to talk a little bit about organizing a tournament, and we'll try to get some tips from Tracy Klassen Spencer about preparing yourself for tournaments and competition. So we'll be right back after this. As soon as I find my commercial. Here we go.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better, and kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
This is Annie Lennox.
Hello?
Of Eurythmics, or RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Eddie Morales from Kickin' It Old School on KCAA 1050 AM. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to the martial arts event of the year, the Masters Hall of Fame, on Saturday, June 22nd, 2013, at the Orange County Hilton, located in Costa Mesa, California. This year's theme is Women in the Martial Arts. Our guest speaker will be Lisa the Black Widow King. We will be honoring many legends in the martial arts. Join Dan and I from Kickin' It Old School at the Masters Hall of Fame, Saturday, June 22nd, 2013. Get your tickets now at mastershalloffame.org.
And now, on with the show.
All right, and we are back. And if you're just now tuning in, you've just tuned in to the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show with Restita and Robert. We are also joined by our special guest co-host, Tracy Klassen Spencer. And we have our other special guest, Elaine Yamano, on hold, waiting to get on. Well, Bob, it appears that we pulled up the wrong PSA break.
I was going to say, you know, that was the first time I was going to just leave that alone.
Yeah. I figured I'm just going to leave it because, you know, if I stop it right there, it's just going to sound stupid. But I'm going to apologize to the listeners in advance if it sounded like I was calling somebody, because I was. And there was like difficulty in getting mics transferred over to our screening room. So if y'all heard the phone ring and heard someone say hello, that was my fault. I'll go ahead and admit to it. So to introduce our next special guest, I'm going to hand the mic over to Sifu Bob.
Well, we probably announced more inter-school tournaments or tournaments in general for Sensei Yamano than anybody else, because she's always doing something. She's going to tournaments. She's promoting inter-school tournaments. She just got done with a big one at the Tropicana in Laughlin, Nevada, a couple weeks ago. Please help me welcome Sensei Elaine Yamano to the show. Welcome, Elaine.
Hi.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Awesome. So for our listeners out there, our number here is 347-677-0699. If you have any questions a little bit later about setting up tournaments or even setting up smaller inter-school tournaments and even the big, large venue ones, give us a call, 347-677-0699. So to start off, Elaine, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your martial arts background, please?
Well, I've been studying the martial arts for over 15 years, and I first started a little bit with the Aikido, and then I went right into the Shorin Ryu Karate. and have been in it ever since. I love it.
Awesome.
And my passion is definitely to teach kids. My students can probably tell you that that's what I love so much, because I might live elsewhere, and I will travel back over there to Chino just for my students. I can't leave them.
Oh, awesome. I love teaching kids
so cool.
as well. I love teaching kids as well. Awesome. Now, there's been a small change in plans, Sensei Elaine. I was wondering if it would be okay if we kind of put the program a little bit backwards, and if we could talk with Tracy for just a little bit to get some tips on preparing for competition. And feel free to chime in as well, because I'm pretty sure that there's some listeners out there that have tuned in specifically to get tips on how to prepare, especially if it's their first competition. So, Tracy, you've competed a lot.
Well, I have. I was a bit of a latecomer to martial arts. I had my first martial arts lesson of any kind at age 47. I'm a student of Taekwondo. I got into it because I had enrolled my son in lessons, and I would take him to his classes and see what was going on, and it just looked like so much fun. I thought, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I started taking lessons too, and I've been studying Taekwondo now for about 6 years and hold a first on black belt. And as part of my training, have been competing in tournaments for about 5 years. In Seattle, at least, there are quite a few Taekwondo tournaments in the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest. As I mentioned earlier in the program, the prime seasons for tournaments are spring and fall, so there's a lot of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And my instructors had always told me that if you want to achieve black belt rank, they recommend that you try to get as wide a variety of tournament experience as you can. And I took them at their word for that, and so I have competed in everything, including forms, sparring, creative forms, weapons forms, board breaking, you name it. If it was offered at a tournament, I wanted to give it a try.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Very cool.
Now what, let's just say that a student from some other system, it doesn't have to be Taekwondo, but let's say a new student in Taekwondo, white belt in Taekwondo, or a white belt in Kung Fu or Karate meets you, and they ask, what's the first thing I should do to prepare? I want to do kata at my first tournament. What's the first thing I should think of doing first?
Yeah. Well, I would say the first step is to know what it is that you are doing. In other words, have that kata, or in Taekwondo, the pumse, and other forms, or however you want to term it, know that form backwards, forwards, practice it over and over until it's in your muscles and in your bones, and so that you don't have to think in order to perform it. And so that means if you're at your school, you know, practice it facing the front of the room, practice it facing the back of the room, practice it facing the sides, practice it on a diagonal, take it out of the dojang, practice it in your backyard, so that you don't need to have the visual references to tell you which way to go, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the second thing to do is to, a lot of people when they practice forms or do forms are nervous to be in the spotlight. And so that's a crucial part of competing in a tournament. And so you want to get every opportunity that you can, even though it may be very uncomfortable for you, to get up in front of other people who are sitting there and looking at you and do your form. Because that will help you become accustomed to, you know, to the nerves that flare up. Even when you know your form well, it can be really difficult for people to be in the spotlight and to perform it on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I especially like your tip about practicing it outside of the atmosphere of the dojo or the dojang, because, I know I've done it a few times in competition where all of a sudden I just go, where the heck am I?
Exactly.
And it just like
focus a little bit.
Yeah, you lose the focus a little bit, and that's it. And that's when you start looking for those visual cues. And I have to tell my students that a lot. I say, you know, don't rely on visual cues. Rely on your own body positioning. Use your body as a point of reference rather than the mirror, that exit door, you know, the red carpet, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
And one good way to do that is actually to do your form with your eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, it always makes me tremendously nervous to do that, even though I've got plenty of space. I always think I'm going to run into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But it really puts you in tune with what your body is doing, not what your eyes are telling you. And you can't, when you're in a tournament setting, you know, there's going to be people up in the stands, there's going to be other competitors, there's going to be other rings where competition is going, the public address system is blaring, all this input coming at you, and you need to be able to know what your body is doing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. A few of my students, when they were competing, used to have a thing about, you know, too much noise, you know, like me, I've got a thing about crowds and too much stimulus, and I tend to like go, ah, when there's like too much. And tournaments used to affect me that way when I was a younger belt. I used to, you know, take in the PA and the announcements and people screaming in the other rings and stuff, and it used to just overwhelm me. And my sensei at the time used to say, that was when he taught me to use my own body as a reference and to just put myself, if I needed to, put myself in the dojo and not see anything else. That works for some people. It did happen to work for me, but it doesn't work for other people. But these students of mine that would have these issues with too much stimulus, they really benefited a lot about with using their body as a reference point and not, you know, looking for those visual familiar cues. And they did pretty well.
Because everything is different in the tournament setting. Everything is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything, all the way down to the odors, you know, the hot dog smell and, you know, the potato chip smell and stuff like that. Oh, man. Now, would you suggest that depending on a practitioner's martial art that they do any special, like extracurricular training, like running, jogging, weightlifting?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, conditioning is very important whether you are competing in sparring. Obviously, it's very important if you're competing in sparring.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're doing forms, your conditioning needs to be good because in order to do a form properly, you have to put every single bit of energy that you have into that form. And if you're doing it properly, you should be, you know, panting at the end of it. You should be out of breath. You should be sweating. You should have laid it all out there on the floor. And so if you're going to do that, your conditioning has to be good.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
Sipu Bob, do you have a question for Tracy regarding competition preparation? Bob? Are you there?
I think we lost him. I think we've stunned him into silence.
Bob, unmute your mic, buddy.
Oh, my God. Okay.
There he is.
There he is.
Nice.
Bob.
Well, is there anything to get
some cheese,
farming, Tracy, other than just getting out there and doing it, getting your cardio up, sparring within in your class, you know, hitting a bag. Is there any other things that you might do to prepare for it? Maybe get over the butterflies.
Yeah, to get over the butterflies. There's nothing like experience to help you handle that sort of thing. So, you know, I would say, you know, if you want to be in tournament competition, take every opportunity that you can to get that experience in a big setting, a small setting, within your school, you know, however you want to do it, take every opportunity to participate in that so that you sort of understand what it's like and understand what you're going to feel.
Some people also are helped by visualization. Mm-hmm. If they can find a quiet spot and sit and close their eyes and sort of play out in their mind how they want the experience to go and what they're going to do and how they'll handle it. I think that can be helpful, too, in calming nerves.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Now, what if, because it even happens to the best of us, sometimes the best competitors have bad days, but what if there comes that point where all of a sudden you just kind of blank out in your form? How do you go? I've been there too, and I just made stuff up. And my Sifu used to say, fake it till you make it. And it was a mantra, right? Fake it till you make it. And you know, and I heard that coming up the ranks in karate and in kajikembo and stuff like that. But, you know, when the stuff hits the fan on that tournament rank, I didn't say the word. when you're actually in the tournament ring and all of a sudden you realize, I don't know where I'm at.
You don't know where you are, yes.
Yeah, you don't know where you are in the form. You know, the mantra makes no sense at that time.
That's
because,
right.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, obviously you've gotten through that. Obviously I've learned to fake it. You know, I still do it.
Yeah.
I'll do demonstrations and completely forget what I'm doing, you know, and go, oh, well, I'll just make something up as long as it looks like Tai Chi, right? But
I've seen that happen.
Yeah, right? And it, you know, and if you do it right, then it looks like no one will know any different. But how do you go about, you know, training for something like that if it's around, like, your first year or two of competition?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure you can really train for that specific instance, but what I've learned, what I've been taught is to make your mistakes with confidence, which is basically rephrasing what you said, is fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how it is in other martial arts, but in Taekwondo at a tournament, for instance, if I am judging forms, I may be seeing students from other schools doing forms that I'm not familiar with. And
uh-huh.
so I don't necessarily know how, you know, whether they're doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm looking at is how are they presenting it? is their form good? Is their
uh-huh.
presentation as a martial artist good? So your judge may not know that you've screwed it up. So if you don't tell him, he may not know, or she may not
mm-hmm.
know, so keep going, right? Make your mistakes
exactly.
with confidence and hope you find your place again. The other option is to stop and ask your judges, please, sir, may I begin again?
Mm-hmm.
And they will often let you do that and say, yeah, you may begin again. And so, I mean, if you've really just completely lost it, that can be an option too.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Taekwondo competitions, is there a point deduction if you start again?
It depends on the tournament. Some tournaments judge by, I guess you'd say by acclamation. There are always three judges for forms, and
mm-hmm.
the judges can either indicate, you know, with the competitors, they'll indicate with hand gestures which one has beaten the other. Other tournaments, they actually use a point system, so it depends on the tournament. I don't know how to answer that, honestly. I think that it would just depend on the tournament,
mm-hmm.
whether or not they give a point deduction for that.
Awesome. And Bob, do you have any other questions for Tracy?
I think she's answered everything I had, and I appreciate that.
Awesome. Very cool. I do have a question about sparring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, obviously, you know, before someone competes in sparring, you should actually be training in sparring.
Good idea.
Although I have met martial artists, and I'm sure we all have, that's online right now, we all have met martial artists that are new and just assume, oh, hey, well, that's easy. I used to do boxing in high school, and I can get in there and do that. And then they find out it doesn't work that way. So obviously you do have to train a little bit. But do you have any tips for first-time competitors when getting into their first sparring competition?
Well, I would say, okay, in Taekwondo sparring, especially if you're in the lower belt ranks, if you're a white belt through, say, a blue belt, mm-hmm. the matches tend to be people kind of just tend to go at each other and try and kick the snot out of each other. and,
is that
know,
why
no
you guys wear
like,
those protective vests?
Yes. And so, of course, you know, in Taekwondo, the object of tournament sparring is to score points against your opponent. And you do that if you are a lower belt rank student. The only way that you can do that is by making contact with the opponent's chest protector or hogu,
mm-hmm.
and generally by landing a kick. It's difficult to score points in Taekwondo sparring with a punch, although that's possible. When you get up into the upper belt ranks where head contact is permitted, then it becomes a whole new ball game, because there are differences in scoring between landing a kick to the hogu or the chest protector. You score more points by landing a kick to the head, and you score even more points if you do it with a spinning move added in there. So it becomes a lot more complicated. So I think if you are wanting to compete seriously in sparring for Taekwondo, know what you need to do at your belt level in order to score points, and don't over-rely on the round kick, the roundhouse kick, I would say, because there are a lot of other ways that you can score points, and you see a lot of the lower belt rank students just getting in there doing round kick, round kick, round kick,
yeah.
round kick. And there's certainly a lot more that you can do, so that should be something that you're training at in your school on a regular basis if you want to compete in a tournament setting.
Awesome. Very cool. Now, in Taekwondo, considering that you have the hogu and the headgear, and I'm assuming like shin protectors and gloves, or is there or gloves?
Yes.
Okay.
Shin protectors and forearm protectors.
Oh, okay. Cool. Now, are there, just out of curiosity, this actually was not part of my question thing, but out of curiosity, is there like any type of how does it work when people actually make enough contact to actually hurt someone or knock someone out? Like if someone round kicks someone to the head and knocks them out, I mean, does it count as a win? Does it count as a disqualification? How does that work?
Well, generally that would count as a win. If your opponent can't get up off the mat, you have won the match. having said that, now I will say, because pretty much every tournament that I have been to, I have seen someone knocked out or have a jaw broken. Or, you know, when you get up into the upper belt ranks and they're doing head contact, you know, that's serious stuff, which mm-hmm. is one reason that I have chosen to de-emphasize sparring in my tournament competition mm-hmm. because, you know, I'm in my 50s now and I don't need to get kicked in the head. Thank you very much. but, yeah, it is a full contact sport and people do get hurt. And one of the ways that you score points in Taekwondo sparring is contact to the head, so you have mm-hmm. to understand that going in. If you're going to spar at that level, somebody's going to kick you in the head, you know,
right.
and that, you know, you could get knocked out, you could have your jaw broken or whatever, and so that's one of the risks that you either accept or you choose not to.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you find within Taekwondo, especially with first-timers, do you find that sometimes kids, let's talk about kids in competition
yeah.
before you have to go. I know you have to go here in a little bit, but kids in competition, do you find with kids that some of them go into a competition expecting to leave with an award and then being absolutely crushed when they don't? And if so, what would you say to them?
Yeah. Well, honestly, in the tournaments that I've experienced, the brackets have been set up so that the little kids don't go home without anything. And
oh, okay.
you can argue whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I can see both sides of that. But
right.
the tournaments that I've been to, they keep the brackets fairly small, and so
you know, they will have a gold medal winner, a silver medal winner, and maybe two bronze medal winners. And then they'll mm-hmm. so they'll keep the bracket small so that the kids, you know, who are there and who are, you know, who are giving it their best shot, mm-hmm. don't go home empty-handed. I'm mm-hmm. not sure that's the best way to approach, you know, the realities of competition, but
that's been my experience so far. Yeah, like you said, you know, some people will say, well, that's not going to teach your child about, you know, winning with grace and losing with dignity, right? But,
true.
You know, I do see the other side in that I do believe that kids should be recognized for at least giving it a shot. Like one tournament I went to, there was gold, silver, and bronze, and medals of participation. And the medals for participation were obviously less fancy looking and much smaller, mm-hmm. but it pretty much said stuff like, you know, the year of the competition and honorable mention or something like that, right? And all of those kids went, you know, home pretty happy. They would smile at pictures as if they won a gold medal, but they knew that they didn't win.
Yeah.
That was the thing. They were happy about doing it, but they knew they didn't win a gold. They didn't win a silver. They didn't win a bronze. And they were okay with that. And I'm pretty sure they went home to train for next year.
my approach to competitions of all kinds, and I have a long history in athletic competition. I've been a competitive swimmer all my life, and so I've been doing competitive athletics for all my life, really. And my approach to competition is, I love to win. Okay, that's terrific. I really, given the choice between winning and losing, I prefer to win. However, the real goal for me in any athletic competition is to meet my own goals, the goals that I have set for myself, mm-hmm. and that may be simply to compete in an event. Something mm-hmm. that I find kind of intimidating, like, you know, sparring for me was the intimidating competition for me, is to compete mm-hmm. in sparring. And my goal when I did that was to overcome my fear of that and get in the ring and face an opponent at a tournament. And that, mm-hmm. you know, that was my victory. So if you disregard the fact that, okay, if I don't get that gold medal, I'm a loser. I don't like that philosophy. Mm-hmm. My philosophy has always been set your goals for yourself and try to improve yourself. And if you win, that's terrific. And if you don't come away with a gold medal, you know, you still gain something.
Mm-hmm. Very awesome. Very awesome. Any other questions there, Bob, on your end?
No, and I know Tracy has to get going, make her family dinner. I want to say thank you. I really appreciate it. You got some good insight into preparing for a tournament.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been. Thank you again for joining us. So,
yeah, and I would make encourage. Yeah, thanks. And I would just encourage all, if you're thinking about competing in a tournament, go for it. It's a fun experience. You know, it may be a little bit scary, but I guarantee you're going to enjoy it. Go for it.
Yeah, yeah. I've been trying to get my students to compete too, and I don't know if it's fear. You know, because a lot of times, some of my students think that you have to be a black belt to compete. I don't know where they're getting that.
I was just gonna ask you to leave with one thought, and that is, you know, I think that if you are an instructor or a master and you want to encourage your students to compete, make sure they understand that they don't have to be a black belt, that they mm-hmm. can compete as a white belt. I mean, that was, my first tournament was as a white belt, mm-hmm. and they will compete against people of similar belt rank and similar age. They're not going to, you know, they don't have to be a black belt to do it. So mm-hmm. just make sure your students understand that, and they may be a little bit more willing to give it a try.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope to. And I think some of it also stems from, at least one student said that, you know, I don't want to lose and, you know, make you look bad. And that's not the point. That's not the point. It's for you. It's, you know, it's your, you know, it's going to build you, but I'll keep trying. Speaking of which, on the upcoming tournament on the 18th, if you're free and want to compete in Tai Chi, let me know.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, you have a great day, Tracy.
I will. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. See you in class. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Tracy Klassen Spencer, a Tai Chi practitioner at my studio and a Taekwondo practitioner that just gave us a few tips on how to prepare for competition. Wow, very cool. All right, now listeners out there, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. And if you call in and want to ask questions of our next guest, Elaine Yamano, about tips on organizing a tournament, please feel free to call in and press 1. When you call in. That way it puts you in our caller queue, and I'll know that you want to speak to us live. Sifu Bob, do you happen to have the studio board up on your computer?
Yes, I do.
Is there anyone that has pressed 1? Because something happened to my board, and half of it's cut off, and I can't – I know that there's people on the line.
Nobody wants to talk to us.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Just
but there's somebody listening on hold. I will give them that
one. Yes. I know there's someone listening from the Oklahoma area, and I think I know who that is. but I just can't see if anyone's going to press 1 because, like, half of the number's gone. So I don't know.
That's okay. I'll let you know. I'll keep it in check.
Awesome. Sounds good. All right. So I'd like to welcome back Elaine Yamano, who will be sharing some tips on how to organize a tournament. So, Elaine, welcome back.
Thank you. Well, you know, first of all, I'd like to give Tracy a lot of credit for starting at a later age in the martial arts, because it takes a lot for someone, you know, I would say even beyond 30, you know, just to start, you know, the martial arts. And so kudos to her for starting at that age.
Yeah, I gave her some serious kudos when she first joined my school. I knew she was a Taekwondo practitioner, but I didn't ask, you know, what's your rank and how long have you been doing it? I just assumed that she was doing it as long as any other person that had started when they were like, you know, 6 or 7 or 8, you know what I mean? And when she told me that she started when she was 47, I was like, whoa. Most people, after, like you said, after 30, would say, no, I'm too old to start. So, I'm very impressed.
I mean, I didn't quite start at that age, but I was in my, I think I was in my 30s when I started. 30s? I was doing the math while waiting, and I've been practicing for 20 years. Like, time sure does go by fast.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes.
It does.
Yes.
Well, happy 20
years. But I'm not getting any older. Yeah.
I wish my knees would tell me the same thing.
You know, I agree. My knees are feeling the same way sometimes.
My knees and Bob's back. Yeah. The body part.
I know. Your knees shouldn't be hurting that bad because they're just so close to the ground.
Okay. One more. Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Elaine, you know, you've done so many tournaments, so many inter-school tournaments, just got done with that big one. What, in your opinion, or what you have to go through to do a tournament, what is the first thing anyone should think of if they plan on putting on a tournament?
The first thing is your date. Because you really try not to coincide with someone else, you know, because I have respect for everybody, and it's just hard, you know, because there's so many tournaments out there. I there's one every week. Ever since my tournament, I've been to others, you know, every week since for the past 3 weeks, you know, so everywhere you turn, there's a tournament. So it's really hard, and you know, of course, I try as much as I could to approach the person, you know, saying I'm sorry, but, you know, I had to choose a date, and I don't get to reach everybody that I do it with, you know, might go on the same day with. But, you know, that's your date is going to be the important thing, you know. And, of course, you know, the holidays, I'm not sure. It's either going to be good or it's going to be bad if you schedule it on a holiday. You know, but I've seen them on Mother's Day. I've seen them on, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, and they've turned out really good. I'm not ready to try that at this point yet, so I don't want to chance it yet. You know, but a date is a big factor. At least for me, it is. You know, because
Tracy was mentioning about a Taekwondo sort of seasonal spring or fall. Do you find that there's a seasonal in the karate world or the kung fu world? Do you run into that? I mean, we're in sunny California, so I don't see a real seasonal thing here.
No, I don't see that at all. No, because, you know, competitors that are out there, they want to compete. It doesn't matter what season it is. They want to compete. You know, I mean, it just you know, it goes to show, like, when you go to Vegas or you go to Laughlin, it's hot in the summer, but they still go, you know, because they love the competition. So, you know, there's no season, at least that I've seen, you know, because I've only been, you know, doing this around in the Southern California area, some, you know, a couple maybe up north and, you know, a couple outside of California, but, you know, no.
Right. Now, Elaine, about location, I know you, now correct me if I'm wrong, you like live in the South Bay, you teach in Corona. What brought you to Laughlin a few weeks ago? Why there?
The organization that I was with when I first started, they used to have black belt seminars over there. And I remember having so much fun whenever I went down there. And then, you know, I started competing because I actually started competing at a later part and like when I was a brown belt. And then I started going to these tournaments that was at State Line and Laughlin. And every time I went there, I always had a great time. And so, you know, I have been going to Laughlin for many, many years just because I love going into the lake or the river, you know, and it's just fun. I make it like a mini vacation. So I thought, you know, bringing it back to Laughlin because one of the gentlemen that I am in my organization with, he had stopped, and I wanted to just bring it back. And it's working. You know, people enjoy themselves, you know, with that. And because the competition is on Saturday, so what this past year, what we were kind of, I guess, advertising was, you know, why not make it a family vacation and come out to the lake on Friday? You know, bring your picnic lunches and your water toys and come out and have some free tournament fun. And we've had a blast. We had such an incredible time. We had some first-timers there that went out to the lake and couldn't stop talking about it. And is still talking about it, as a matter of fact.
Very cool.
They had. Yeah.
That is so cool. Now, Elaine, do they still have that paddle boat, that big ship that goes around the lake and sort of hotel hops?
Yes, they do. They call it the water taxi.
Is that what it's called? Okay.
Yeah, but it's not so much the paddle boat. I think the paddle boat that they might have is just a tour, but they do have a water taxi that goes from hotel to hotel, but back in the day, they didn't charge you for it. Now they do. They got to make a buck, so they do that. But it's still the experience. You can go ahead and go hopping along the river, you know, from hotel to hotel. But we have our fun, and in the evening, it's the adult time fun. So
very cool. Very cool. Now, I kind of want to like rewind a little bit to date and location. Now, with the consideration about date, does that apply mainly to other tournaments that might be in the same region? I'm assuming that's an obvious thing, like if it's in the same city, but you know,
yeah, somewhat. I would have to say, and might actually. Went on the same day as the Akashi Kimbo tournament that was held in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not see any of her advertisements, and I did call her up and apologize, you know, for having it on the same day, but I needed to choose a date. And when I didn't see anyone's, you know, flyers, you know, I thought I was safe. And when I heard that, you know, my friends that are in that art said, oh, we can't, we'd love to make it to your tournament, but we can't because we have one in Vegas. I went, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, you know. So, you know, things like that happen, and she understood. She was very gracious about it, and because she is a friend of mine as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's hard not to schedule it around somebody else's, too. I try, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm doing as soon as September comes around, because I have to wait for, because a hotel that I'm looking at down there is changing hands. It was owned by the Tropicana, which was the River Palm. Mm-hmm. And they were like sister hotels. Well, I heard just as I was there this past weekend, or back in my tournament, that they are selling the River Palms to somebody else, so they would no longer be connected. And
mm-hmm.
There's a nice ballroom in there as well, because I wanted to take a look at that. And so I can't schedule anything until September, but I'm going to try and schedule it as soon as I can, you know, so that
mm-hmm.
way I could say I have my date, you know, and this is what it is, and, you know, just, you know, start promoting, you know, from that time. And as
mm-hmm.
soon as I find my date, I will make my flyers to start passing out. And I'm going to kind of gear it more. You know, I will, of course, go to the local tournaments around in this area, but I will also need to actually start pushing it over in the Nevada and Arizona area as well. And that's what I kind of found what I need to do. It takes a little time. This is only my third year of doing this, and only my second doing it out of state. So,
wow.
You know, I need to, you know, you kind of learn as the time goes on. And
mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot, and I'm still learning.
Awesome. Well, I'm hoping our listeners are learning from this, too. I have a friend that is putting on her first tournament, and I'm helping her out with it. And I'm hoping she's listening. And so I'm hoping she's learning from this too. So let's say you found a date, you found a venue, everything's hunky-dory so far. Now it's down to the nitty-gritty. I mean, how do we figure out what types of events to do, especially if it's an open tournament? Because, you know, we don't, you know, unlike a closed tournament, which is where, you know, where you would know, you know, what types of kata divisions to have for an open tournament. You really don't know, you know, who's going to show up. You don't know if there's going to be kung fu practitioners that show up, and you don't have a division for them. So how does one go about, for an open tournament, I guess I'm talking about, how does one go about in an open tournament figuring out what types of divisions to offer the competitors?
Well, luckily enough, you know, I've gone with a group where they, you know, two of them have done tournaments for years.
Mm-hmm.
So we go based off of the same schedule and divisions.
Oh, okay.
You know, and yeah, and it is an open tournament, so say Chinese style will go with Taekwondo or with, you know, hard style. They're all going to be mixed, you know, and of course in hopes that the judging, you know, is fair. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, because there's so much involved with tournaments, and when it comes to judges,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're at their mercy, you know,
yeah.
because you need judges. And I have been extremely lucky to have such good friends that come down and help, you know, and they, like this past one, they stayed from beginning to end. I mean, we ended like at 2:30. But they were there, and they maybe took their break, but, you know, it wasn't anything big, and they stayed. And I am very grateful for all my judges and all my staff, the timekeepers, scorekeepers, and people at the door. And, I've been lucky, and I've been blessed to have such a good, strong backing, you know, from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, if she's looking to, you know, find things like that, ask people now, you know, and say, can I count on you on helping me with my tournament?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's, you know, because insurance,
mm-hmm.
every place wants that proof of insurance, of
exactly.
liability, you know.
Exactly.
And luckily, I, you know, found my own insurance with my studio, you know, covers me with my tournament as well. And
mm-hmm.
and extremely, extremely affordable, you know, because
mm-hmm.
if anyone knew, anyone that knows me knows I'm trying to definitely save a buck. And I'm, you know, looking at different things like my venue. I needed to find a place that I know was affordable for me, you know. And then at the same time, what else could you do for me, you know, and my staff? And they worked with me, you know, a lot. And they actually hooked me up with a really good trophy person. And I found out that the trophy person is actually over, you know, in Yucaipa, which was by luck. And he gave me prices that no one else could offer, you know, because looked around. Yeah, and that's hard, too, because, you know, sometimes people are stuck on, well, who did you get your, you know, trophies from? Well, they ask a person and then use that person. You know, and no offense to any of those people out there that you know, supplies trophies, you know, but I had to go with, because I know what my budget was, I had to go with what was less expensive. But the quality was excellent. His quality was, I'm definitely using him, and I'm definitely going to, you know, recommend him to, you know, anybody, because he worked with me, he delivered, he put them together. He was incredible. It's Island Cruiser Awards in Yucaipa, and I was pleased with that. So the awards, you know, was one thing off of my list that I had to worry about. And then that's one major key, is to have a tournament checklist, a big one, you know, because you want to make sure that you have this and this and that. And I'm still adding on to my checklist thinking, oh, this is what I forgot last time. You know, because when you do it outside, you have no room to forget things. You can't just go run back to the studio and pick it up. And luckily, I have friends that did have a key to the studio, was able to pick up what else I needed and bring it down to Laughlin.
You know? Wow.
But, yeah. That, again, I have such a strong support group. My group of people, the Sons of the Pacific, they're my brothers. I love them to death. You know, and, you know, my friends in different areas, they help me tremendously, and they support me 100% too. And then when they all seen that I looked out, you know, I was on my stage and I was looking at the numbers, you know, and they can see the distraught in my face. But after a while, it's like, you know what, as long as everyone's having fun and the people, the competitors are walking away happy, that's all that matters. You know, numbers, it's a number, you know, and of course you want to, you know, break even. And, you know, the worry that I had, I shouldn't even worry because I did. And everyone had a great time. Even my staff, they said, this was so much fun. I can't wait till next year.
Awesome.
I was like, well, that's fantastic, you know. So
very cool.
You know, yeah. And,
yeah.
You know. But, you know, I give your friend a lot of luck on getting things together. And if she wants any help, she can easily call me, too.
Oh, awesome. I'll have to pass on your contact information, because our tournament is slated for the 18th of this month. And, you know, this started out as a kind of like a wouldn't it be cool if type of idea last year. And I said, oh, yeah, sure, you know, if you want to set something up like that, just give me a call, you know, I'll help out any way I can. I have Wushu carpets and da-da-da-da. And then I found out, I got a call one day, and she's like, it's a go. And I'm like, what? Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, okay, you know. And and it only seems like it's been just yesterday or, you know, last week, but it's been at least like 6 months since, you know, this has been in the planning, and now it's only a couple weeks away. And you know, we're pretty excited, and
yeah,
it's her first. And you know, there is a distinct difference between being a tournament competitor, which she is. She was a very successful wushu competitor in China. But there is a difference between being a competitor and a promoter.
Yes, because you have to know the business part of it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Now, speaking of the business end of it, now we were talking earlier about breaking even or hoping to break even. Now, for first timers out there, how does one go about finding that funding? So, like, for example, me, I'm on a very limited budget. Make that no budget. So if I wanted, if I wanted to go out and start a tournament, right, you know, how do I, you know, how would I find funds to secure the venue? You know, do I choose to pay the staff or do I, you know, ask for volunteers? How does, you know, insurance, of course, and you have to pay for that liability insurance or you can't do it. You know, how does one go about that?
Well, that's why, you know, for myself, I had to plan a year ahead of time. And it all comes out of my pocket, and that's what it does. You know, you try to find sponsors if you can. The big thing to do is also if you're able to get a nonprofit organizational member, you know, that helps a lot as well. And then you can go to businesses that or individuals that need to get a tax write-off. You know,
that
helps right there. But then, like I said, I plan ahead of time. I get my card, the card stock flyers first. Those are those teasers that you put out. And luckily, again, I found somebody that is very inexpensive but does great quality work. And I don't know if you had seen any of my little flyers, but they do a really good job. And so then I put my money out on that. You know, with the venue, I talk to the people. And I say, well, you know, when do you need the deposit? You know, and then, you know, because I tell them what I've done in the past. You know, my first one, well, it was free because I was at the gym was actually donated to me. So I want you to find something that is donated to you. That's even better. So, you know, if you, because another thing that I was doing this with a portion of my money that came in was going to the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. And so that there, too, helps getting into a place. You know, when you're going, saying that, you know, those part of the proceeds are going to go to a charity. And then another way of generating money, too, is a raffle, but that wouldn't be until the day of the tournament. So as you're saying with funds, well, my funds are probably just like yours, you know, and, you know, I make so much money, and so I have to go spend it on gas to go to these tournaments to promote, you know, and then do the flyers, but I make sure that I order, you know, a lot of flyers so I don't have to spend more money later on. And then so, like this year, all I needed to do was one batch of cards and then one batch of registration forms and flyers. You know, so you're kind of, like I said, you're kind of living and learning on this. And, you know, as in staff, what I did with them is, you know, because I was in a hotel, they had offered goodie bags, 50 goodie bags to me. And I was like, perfect. You know, what I did was I added, you know, added a few things to the goodie bags, you know, for a little special touch. And, you know, those were given to my judges, my scorekeeper, timekeepers. It went out to everybody.
Awesome idea.
So that way you do not have to pay them. You know, a lot of tournaments to give out T-shirts, but that also as well costs you money. So I don't have T-shirts, you know. And like when, if you have a tournament and they're used to seeing you giving out T-shirts, they're going to expect T-shirts. You know, with me, you will get things that are useful, hand sanitizer, you're going to get that, you know, but then you get, you know, some water and you get like a granola bar, you know, something to tide you over for lunch, you know, and so that's what I do. And for the women that are key up there at the front of the registration, I give them a little bit something special, you know, with the included in the goodie bag. And that takes work. It does take a little bit of work, but do it ahead of time. And that mine was done months ahead of time, you know, because what you do, you get things such as my tournament is in the summer. Well, at Christmas, you always have your 75% off, right? So that's when you get maybe chapstick or body wash or you know, a smelly lotion and all of that. You know, you can get all of it. Of course, you'd be choosy and make sure it doesn't have a Christmas tree on there or stuff like that. You know, and you put them in the goodie bag.
That's a great idea. That is.
And they appreciate
awesome
it. I mean, last year my friend really, she laughed at me because in all the other goodie bags I gave a disposable razor. And she goes, what is this? And I said, everyone, you can't tell
razor.
Me that at one time that you might forget a razor.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Oh, yeah. And one lady, she says, oh, my God, Elaine. She says, this is what I need. I forgot my razor. And she left the room, and she went up to her room to shave her leg.
That is
so
a
I said,
wonderful
see?
Idea. Wow. I'm gonna have to pass that along and remember that for next year. That's a wonderful idea because
yeah.
I think for the most part for this year's tournament, luckily we've got a lot of friends that are volunteering. You know, we've got people coming
mm-hmm.
in from Canada, some people coming
wow.
in from California to help us with it. And so that's we lucked out on that.
Yeah, that's great.
But because it is a, you know, Wushu Tai Chi tournament and probably the only one in the Seattle area for a long
mm-hmm.
time, you know, we hope and sort of expect that it's just going to get bigger. And, you know, that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, that's what you hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
that's what we hope. You know, and that, you know, thinking about this tournament made me and I was telling Bob about it, too. I'm like, hey, you know what? It'd be great. Finding out tips on how to set up a tournament.
Yeah.
<that'd be> great.
Well, and you know, your key, you know, people is your staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have to say, I mean, yes, you definitely need competitors. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
that's a must. But having the staff there and making sure that they stay, you know, is
mm-hmm.
another thing. Or having them return to you. And so what I have is a big coffee maker, and I put
mm-hmm.
it back there behind. It was on the stage behind the scenes. And
mm-hmm.
I perked up a big thing of coffee, and they were able to go back there because in the morning there's a lot of people. I'm one of them that need coffee in the morning.
Yeah. Me too.
So, you know, we had fresh coffee, and it tasted good. I didn't make it. My other friend, she made it. And they were, you know, drinking that coffee, and there was no mess or anything like that. And, by taking care of your staff is you know something that's definitely ideal, and having things ready of course at the registration desk.
Mm-hmm.
That has been to so many tournaments to where they don't have change, they don't
yeah.
have the petty cash ready, and
yeah.
you don't really,
yeah.
you know. Incredible.
I've been there.
And yeah, and I don't know if it's a female thing to be prepared. I don't know, but you know, I just have to make sure you have a lot of petty cash, you know,
mm-hmm.
ready to go, signed, you know, to know, because you know, a tournament that I was at just past weekend, you know, not that it was hard to find, but signs pointing in the direction where you need to go, you know, helps a lot. You know, that's what I had
mm-hmm.
to do with my very first tournament. You know, and then, you know, your wristbands or stamps, whatever that you're using, you know, making
mm-hmm.
sure that you have plenty of those. And the division sheets, you know. That
definitely.
Sometimes people forget that that's what you definitely need is those division sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes the tournament really nice is you know, her name. Put it on a banner. The name of the tournament, and you know, on a banner, like right on the front table, you
mm-hmm.
know, it gives you credibility, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, like I have grands. I have a junior grand, which is brown and red, brown, red, and black belt, and then black
mm-hmm.
belt grands for male sparring and for kata. And I didn't do it this year, and I kind of slapped myself for that one. But I, you know, when you have them up there, and each year. You put their name on there, you know, they can say, I want my name on that next year, you
mm-hmm.
know, and it's hanging right there. And so I'm definitely going to make it for this coming up or in 2014 is, you know, something like that. You
awesome.
Know? Placement blocks, you know, first, second, and third, and having, you know, to where they could take pictures right there,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the parents. And another thing is that we stream live. So, we, you know, I
really
extra for it. Yeah. We streamed live, and so I had to get, you know, Wi-Fi. I had to purchase Wi-Fi, but to me it's worth it because it just makes your tournament better, you know. We have a graphics and computer guy, and he is wonderful. He's absolutely wonderful. And
wow.
He has done a lot to make the Sons of the Pacific shine. You know,
that is a wonderful idea to stream live and have the tech guy or the tech staff go around with the cameras and, you know,
yep.
Wow, that's an interesting idea. Huh.
Yeah, well, what we
I'm thinking
and
now.
Then, when we announce, we say, hey, you know, if you have your little, you know, SD card, you know, bring it to us, you know, which is to email, you know, and he'll put it, you know, on our website. You know, grandma and grandpa that lives out of state can go ahead and go onto the website, you know, and then also at the same time he is entering the winners of each division as they come in. So, I mean, say,
wow.
You know, 10 minutes later, you know, it's showing that Junior got second place, you know.
Wow.
Or, if they have video, they can
so much. Yeah, that makes it so much interactive, even if you couldn't go. That's an amazing idea, Sensei. Oh, my gosh. I'm writing this down. I'm like, it's not going to happen this year. But, it's but you know, that's, I don't even know why it didn't occur to me to stream the event live like any other athletic event, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
That's a great idea. Whoa.
Yeah, 'cause there's some, you know, maybe there's some aunts and uncles that would love to be there but just couldn't, you know, bad timing or funds or what have you, but they could go on the internet. Who doesn't have internet besides my mom? You know?
Mm-hmm. Right on.
But,
now what,
just out of
curiosity, when you said you had to purchase internet, did you buy one of those sticks or did you buy a clear modem to take with you? Or
how does one
go about that?
Because the hotels usually have, you know, Wi-Fi.
Right, okay,
you know,
got it.
But this particular one did not have, you know, free Wi-Fi, so, you know, it was just $50. They just charged me $50, but to me it's worth it because it makes, you know, the tournament as well as our organization, you know, look good, look professional.
Awesome.
You know? And one thing that we had that people just love, and I've had it for 3 years in a row, is a raffle. You know, we've had, you know, great prizes. This year, the big prizes, I was giving away two sets of two of Disneyland tickets and two sets of two of Universal Studio tickets.
Wow.
And these things, you can win off the radio. You know, you have to do it, you know, your timing has to be correct, you know, by the time you have your tournament. But, you know, I think that I like to see the people win. They're going like, I won, you know.
Yeah.
And, who doesn't like to go to Disneyland? You know, well, one of my friends don't, but who really doesn't like going to Disneyland or Universal Studios, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, my sister, she gathers things, you know, like things that are on clearance, and we put them in baskets. And I had a bunch of Beanie Babies that were the little ones, but yet the big ones, and those were a hit. You know, I mean, one gentleman, one sensei, he actually won, I don't know how many, six, because they were in the plexiglass cases. So
oh,
he
those
went
are collector items.
yeah, I guess they are.
Yeah, I don't collect them, but
yeah,
some people
yeah, I don't either. My mom did. But, you know, the raffle is just a lot of fun because you see these kids and they want to say, what number was that? You know, they want to you know, they won and... so I'm thinking, because like in the past, I've had angel, you know, tickets, just things all, you know, around this area, you know, which the majority of people that do come are from, you know, over this way that would like to, you know, win prizes. And so that's something just always fun to have, you know, is a raffle.
Very
cool. And then, and that can go to a lot of different things. My first year or my last 2 years, it was going to my junior leadership program for the kids, and that allowed them to do things outside of, you know, karate. So, you know, you can do it for a lot of different things. So
very
and,
cool.
And I think, yeah, another thing that makes a tournament, you know, seem a little bit more pleasant to be at is if there's background music. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And because we are Sons of the Pacific, which is more like Pacific Islanders, we played Hawaiian music as background.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of soothes it a little bit. You know, even though you still hear the key eyes and stuff, that's okay. It's background music.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Very cool. Sifu Bob, you have any questions for Elaine?
Yeah, since I want to, because you were so far away from home, you had volunteers from all over the place coming in.
Yeah.
This year, because you've done it for a few years now, what was your biggest speed bump this year that you overcame or couldn't overcome because of your distance away from home?
My speed bump, but I'm going to have to just say the headcount of competitors.
Mm-hmm.
But I overcame it only because, you know, I can't let it bring me down, you know, and that I would have to say that's probably the only thing, you know, because it was just a lack of competitors. And I think due to the Las Vegas one being done at the same time, because I have a lot of Kaji Kembo friends that would have loved to come. And they were looking so forward to it until they found out that theirs was the same day
mm-hmm.
over in Vegas. So, you know, I try to take things in stride and try to go to the more positive aspect of it all, because it's not going to make things any better just to dwell on oh my gosh, there's nobody here. You
mm-hmm.
know? So instead, making it the best and making sure that the kids have a good time. Because if
mm-hmm.
they're going away with, you know, a trophy or a medal, that makes me happy. And I think they'll be returning back again. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to that, I would say that's the only thing that really, you know, was an issue. Other than that, everything else went fine. Our setup was fine. Our breakdown was fine. And we're all happy. You know, and afterwards we just all hang out together and we had dinner, you know, and had a crab leg buffet.
Oh,
what
sweet.
More can you add? See, that's what you missed out on, Bob.
I know. God, we've been to so many places. I mean, you were literally sitting next to, at the Masters Hall of Fame, you were at the table next to Sifu Rosita.
Yep.
And you were two away from me.
Yeah, you know, and yep. We do miss each other. You were over at Gabriel's tournament, and I was right there on stage, and you were in ring two, you said.
That's right. And last year as well.
Oh, my goodness. See, and we just miss
wow.
each other. But, hey, we do speak to each other on Facebook, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right on.
You know, and so, but I tried to incorporate, you know, and I started with those little inner dojo tournaments. That's what I incorporated
mm-hmm.
into the larger tournament, you know, because those little ones are also really good for the students, you know, that don't
mm-hmm.
go out and compete, because not everybody goes out and competes. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't push it, you know, to where you have to go out. If you'd like to, you know, I try to be selective on tournaments on which ones I think are pretty
mm-hmm.
good. You know, there's, you know, politics in almost every one of them, but I try to select the runs that I don't think are as political, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But with the ones that I have at my studio, it varies on which one, but there's one where everyone gets a trophy, you know, and it makes them feel good that they're getting a trophy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's others where we say, okay, this is first, second, and third, and if this was a real tournament, this is how it would be. You know,
mm-hmm.
What I push with my students, by you going to a tournament, you have already won. You've won
mm-hmm.
and conquered something right there alone to be there. Because do you see every Tom, Dick, and Harry out of this tournament? No, you don't.
Right.
So, you know, you're already a winner in my heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I let them know, only so well, you got three places, you know, first, second, and third. And if you don't make it, hey, did you have fun doing it? You know, because you have to have fun. Just like karate or, you know, the martial arts. If you're in class, I mean, you can't have fun all the time. But if you're not having fun the majority of the time, then how come you? Why are you there? You know,
right.
I when I competed, I had fun. I always had fun conversing with my, you know, with the competitors I was competing against. you know, and making new friends. And that's where, you know, how I am and where I'm at today is just by, you know, meeting new people and meeting you guys, you know, is another thing, you know, which is great.
Right on. Now, with the inner school tournaments, is there much of a difference in planning and organizing between an inner school tournament and a large scale tournament, or is it pretty much the same, just smaller?
You know, it's. I don't think you have to prepare as much at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier because you don't have to worry about the venue.
Right.
You know, you have your own. You don't have to get additional insurance. You know, and what I have used when it comes to trophies were my ones that I didn't use, or my fellow friends that had unused trophies, and then I just get a little first place piece and put it on there, and then I put the name, like say I had the it was the spring one in May, I believe I had one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just put the name of the tournament. Oh, May Day Classic was what it was. And, you know, put the little plate on there, and everyone got to choose which trophy they wanted. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that out of pocket, I already spent the money on it, which I assumed that's what I was going to spend on my regular tournament. And
mm-hmm.
then, you know, so, and then because it's on a much smaller scale, you have to, what I do is have the white belt, all the kids, white belts just to the purple belts, they come in at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on at 11:30, then I'll bring in the adults as well as the upper rankings, which is usually
mm-hmm.
ending up with a smaller group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that way they're not, because everyone wants to see their kid compete, you know,
right.
so, you know, we don't have a huge amount of people sitting in there and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I have a snack bar, which usually with the snack bar, that's with my senpais, my red belts. That's when they make, you know, some extra money for activities, is
mm-hmm.
they'll sell their little goodies at the snack bar.
Oh, right on.
But it's, you know, again, you know, the judges are all volunteers. Basically, they're the people that have brought students, and some are
mm-hmm.
not. You know, there are some that are just friends, and they said, hey, you know, I'd like to come out because they just love seeing the kids compete,
mm-hmm.
And then I bring donuts, so I definitely feed them, you know, and and coffee and whatever, water. They definitely get fed because I'm all about food sometimes.
mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome. But I've only had one inter-school tournament so far, and it turned out great. We fed the judges, which are pretty much like all the black belts. Right.
And they liked that, I'm sure.
They did. They're like, whoa, we were just going to do this. You know, we weren't expecting food. Wow, okay.
Yep.
You know, and it turned out really well. And the kids absolutely loved it. And
mm-hmm.
they were like, when's the next one? But unfortunately, this
yep.
year was kind of a bust. I wasn't able to have one this year, but I don't know. Maybe,
well,
maybe I'll have
for them
a fall
to look
one.
Forward to next time.
Exactly, exactly. If I can't get one going in the fall, hopefully next year. So
yeah, we try to have them at the dojo probably about 2 to 3 times a year. You know, because
oh, awesome.
There are. I mean, I have to say that there are, you know, a big portion of, you know, students that just don't go out to tournaments, but
mm-hmm.
but they will pay to go to the one at the school. You know,
right.
And it's, you know, they're thinking about it. I don't know, you know, how they're thinking, but it's probably just something that they're more familiar with,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's a smaller setting, and they don't feel like they have to, you know, win big or something. I don't know how they think, but there's, you know, sometimes, well, I just remember a couple of them, they were really big, you know, and I was very happy with that, too, as well. You know, because you definitely don't. If you have your own trophy that you know haven't used before, you know, again, you don't have any out of pocket, but you don't have to charge them that much either, and
mm-hmm.
and they're happy. The parents are happy that they don't have to pay that much for registration.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost actually out of time. I don't know what happened at the time. I was like, whoa, it's almost 8 o'clock already.
It's funny how that works, isn't it, people?
Yeah, it is. Me and Bob always wonder, okay, you know, are we going to get through the 2 hours? And next thing you know, we look at the clock and it's like, what happened? Now, before we go, I was wondering if there was some actual insurance companies that you could recommend to first-time promoters out there that are looking for liability insurance.
The only one that I can suggest would be mine. You know, and of course, this is, you know, over in the Inland Empire area. And I don't know if you have listeners, I'm sure, from all over the place, but the one that I go with is Hospitality General Insurance Services in Covina. And, then that's who I use for my dojo. And what's, you know, really good about my insurance is it's affordable. And when it came to going outside to doing my tournament, I mean, it's pennies. They really don't charge me any much more beyond what I'm paying them already. You know, making sure that you just don't choose any Tom, Dick, or Harry when it comes to your insurance. And a friend of mine actually, you know, he recommended these people. I've been with them for 3 years now. You know, I was going with, you know, another one, which was actually out of state. And, you know, and they worked with me. They were very good. But this one was a little bit more affordable and they're local and I can work with them. And they're very nice people. I mean, I love working with them. The lady that I call Marva, she is such a sweet gal. You know, it's always nice to, you know, talk to someone when you've had a hard day. And she's still really pleasant, you know, and her day is almost done and mine's beginning, you know. So,
fine.
But that's the one that I use, you know, when it comes to insurance. And I'm sure there's a lot of dojos that have, you know, their own that are really good. But, you know, there you would have to ask. Ask them,
right?
You know, because you don't, and you don't necessarily have to use your insurance, you know, that you use for your studio. You know, maybe ask your friends how much, you know, are they paying, and who knows, you might end up switching to them for your, you know, dojo insurance as well. So
awesome! That's great information to know, and I can't stress enough to new tournament promoters out there, do get the insurance. You just never know.
Especially
if you're going to have kumite. Yeah, you never know, especially with kumite or something like that, which is why this particular tournament that my friend and I are having has no sparring at all except for Tai Chi push-in. But even then, because it, you know, it's her first tournament, and she's like, I don't want to, you know. We're like, let's not do Sanda, which we don't want people throwing people off the stage or anything like that. And we figure, you know, at least with Tai Chi push hands, we can control it. You know, but
yeah,
still,
and then,
you know,
and
we have the insurance, and knock on wood, you know, hopefully we won't need it.
It's better to be safe. You know, I can't imagine not having that and something happened. You know, they could just trip somewhere inside of a gymnasium and blame it on you.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. But I'm surprised, though, at how many people out there just think that they just have to, like, you know, rent a community center and boom, they can have a tournament. But, you know, like you had mentioned.
There's so much more.
There's so much more. You got to think from the competitor's point of view, too, as well as the audience. So pretty cool stuff.
Well, Yeah, having a medic there is definitely someone that you need, but that doesn't have to be, you don't have to have an EMT there. You could have a registered nurse. You could have a sports medicine person there, you know, if you have, you know, and that you go to your dojo and see if there's someone that practices that, you know, and you know, they can determine on how much, you know, they're going to ask, you know, you to pay them. You know, mine, she is a good friend of mine, and she did not want anything. So, I bought her dinner. That's all I had to do. You know, that was my money.
I like transactions like that. Trade for trade.
It is.
You know? Don't have to worry about money.
That's it.
Sure. Yeah. Sifu Bob, do you have any last questions for Sensei before we wrap it up tonight?
No, it was a great show. It was a lot of good insight. I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. I do too as well.
Thank you so much for joining us. That was a lot of great information, and I hope that, again, if there are any first-timers out there that are thinking of putting on a tournament, even a small inter-school one, or a, just a small closed-style one, take some of these tips to heart because, you know, there's so many little things that you want to be thinking of. It's not just get your, you know, get people in, have them compete, win a trophy. If you want your tournament to be enjoyable and to have people coming back for it, follow some of these tips that Sensei Yamano has given us, and hopefully it'll be a successful event. So
yeah,
thank you again, Sensei.
Yours.
Thank you
so much.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
all right.
Good for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Have a great rest of the evening, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Awesome. All right, and for our listeners out there, me and Bob, are looking for possible forum subjects for next week's show. That's next week, isn't it, Bob? Yeah, next week, the 11th.
Yes. Now, somebody suggested we do a history on martial arts thing, but that could be a month preparation, 2 month preparation to do a show like that.
Yeah, you mean the history of martial arts in general? Or,
yeah,
or
with the he did history of martial arts with the I lost my wording, but with the traditions that go behind it, that could be a long time preparation for a show like that, though.
Wow, yeah, that would be, but that's a great idea. Listeners, if any of you out there have any suggestions on a possible forum subject for next week, feel free to get a hold of us at dynamicdojoradiohost@gmail.com. That's my email address. Or Sifu Bob's email address, I keep forgetting what yours is. Dynamic Dojo Radio Co-host. Did I really make your email address that long? I'm sorry, bro.
Yes, you did.
But I have an excuse for that. It's so that way when people actually see who sent it, that it makes sense instead of just like dynadojo@gmail.com or something stupid like that.
Right.
So, but get a hold of us, Dynamic Dojo Radio Co-host or Dynamic Dojo Radio Host at gmail.com, or get on the Facebook Dynamic Dojo group page. Just go over there and search for Dynamic Dojo. You'll find us. We're also on Twitter. So get a hold of us there. We hope to get some ideas. Now, Bob and I do have some ideas that we're, you know, that we're just kind of playing around in our own heads and stuff like that. But we want to hear from you guys because this show is based on the listeners. So we hope to hear from some of you guys. And thank you, Bob, for joining me on this fun and informative show. And we'll talk to all of you listeners next time. Have a great evening, everyone. We'll talk to you all next week.